And our web designer, our original web designer, was a 15-year-old high school co-op student. And makes this website. I'm looking at him like, man, you are gifted. You know, I'm looking at our youth coordination team. And our youth coordinators, all they do is work the phones. People call up young people, or teachers, or parents, again, or librarians. And they say, we want to get students involved. How do we do it? And they'll give advice and guidance, and they'll talk about, you know, how to make issues youth-friendly. They talk on the phone. And I'm looking at them, I'm like, man, that's a gift. Seriously, like, we always tell young people, if your parents ever give you a hard time about talking on the phone, you can just tell them, Mom, Dad, I'm practicing my gift. I'm going to go work for Free the Children after. I'm going to get a job there. No, but, like, it's helping every youth who comes through, every youth who walks into a library, everybody who walks into a library, especially young people, because we live in a society where we have this certain definition of gifts. You're, you know, good in math. You're good in science. You're good in this. You're good in that. Helping young people to realize when they walk into your library, when you encounter them, whatever they do, they have a gift. Maybe they're good in music. And they can get the message out that way. Not every young person is a voracious reader. Not every young person is going to be the next great author. Not every young person is going to have an IQ off the charts. But everybody has a gift. If they're passing notes in the library, go up to them and say, hey, pen a letter to the Prime Minister. Get your message out there. If they keep talking in the library, say, hey, you like talking so much? Give a speech next time. Tell young people an issue you're passionate or hop on the phone, call someone. When a young person walks in and crosses your path, help find their gift and talent. Teachers are often so overwhelmed. Parents are so overwhelmed. Society is so overwhelmed. They don't actually stop one-on-one like you can do with a youth and ask them, what do you love to do? What we just finished reading that book, let's make it real. It's not just something we're going to read. It's not just a textbook. It's not just a story. Let's turn that into an action. Let's turn that into a skit. Let's turn that into a letter to the Prime Minister. Let's turn that into a mural, a painting, an art display. Let's turn that into something where you can take what you're learning and really dive into it. That basic idea of issue plus gift equals changed world, that simple formula, that equation, that's how we built an organization. That's literally what we do for young people in a nutshell. We help them realize they can make a change at any age. They helped to build schools. Youth have fundraised to Free the Children to build over 400 primary schools. Countries all around the world. Every day, 35,000 kids go through one of our schools. Every school has a library in it, by the way. I thought I'd just add that in there. Alternative income cooperatives for women and, by extension, families. We target women, though. Cows, land, sewing machines earn an income to support themselves. Clean water projects, 200,000 school kits. Alternative trips to India, Kenya, Nicaragua, volunteering in developing countries. And there we go. And in North America, we are in charge in Ontario and BC. There's something called the 40 hours of community service. Those of you who are in schools know about this. Every high school student has to do 40 hours of community service to graduate from high school. Toronto Public, Catholic, Durham, Peel, Vancouver, Surrey, Coquitlam, they've subcontracted it to us. So we create a text, the grade 9 version, called Take Action. They learn how do you make a phone call? How do you do research? How do you learn more about these issues? How do you take action? And this is all taught by students. So we directly work with 100,000 high school students in Canada every year through this program. Peer-to-peer, we have 20 youth whose only job is going into schools, working with student leaders. Here's the simple actions you can bring back into your library. Set your computers to the Hunger Site. It's a UN organization. It takes you 10 seconds on your homepage. Everyone who logs on by clicking, doesn't cost them a cent, one click, they fed a person. The corporations that advertise, foot the bill. Simple action. Keep an issue board, whether you're in a school or community library, a giant thing where you can post an issue that you're passionate about out there. Host a social justice fair, have students put up booths, encouraging students to read the paper. Book of the month to change the world. A lot of Book of the Month clubs out there, but how about something with titles that inspire us to teach about social justice? Biographies and autobiographies about the great leaders from our time. School building campaign, getting students involved to help build schools in developing countries, hosting a youth in action group. And I can't run through all this stuff because I'm running out of time, but I want to highlight, we have a couple people here who literally helped live that message. We've got Will Clay, Irene Zion. I know she's here. I promise I was going to embarrass her. These are some of her students. Students who, and I know she's hiding, she's like, no. She's in the audience, she said hello, I know she's here. These are some of her students who got involved. She makes a grade A curriculum, helping get involved in social justice. Got another one handed to me, another grade A curriculum on social justice put together by Isabel Hobbs, who's also in the audience with us as a librarian, teaching students partnerships, the unique opportunity you have to reach beyond the curriculum, because what is the purpose of education? It's not just reading, writing, arithmetic. We believe it's helping to inspire youth, helping them to challenge what they see as materialism, helping them to ask what really equals happiness out there in the world. And I know I need to wrap up here, but I want to touch on two last things. One is something that you have on your chair, at least most of you have in your chair. The little form, I'm actually going to hop down and grab one from you here. So a campaign we've started called Me to We. It's a simple way to take action, something we're trying to start in the schools and in the communities. It's detachable up on top. We ask you to take the top with you. It's an action pledge you make for yourself about an issue you're passionate about, an action that you're going to take. It's a promise, a little wallet-sized card. Tuck it right next to your Visa and MasterCard. But you can pull it out and say your action helped make the world a better place today. Is talking to your child in the morning, cooking dinner for your spouse, volunteering once a week at a local community center, whatever it is for you. And the bottom is, if you're interested, just give it to me or put it out in our booth afterwards, and our booths are straight through those doors. I want to leave you with an idea of what this Me to We campaign is through one final story. It's the story of Oprah. We put together that book that Ken was talking about, Me to We, and the reason I can shamelessly put it up there is because everyone who wrote for it donated the money back to charity, including Oprah. Richard Gere wrote for it, Oprah wrote for it, Jane Goodall wrote for it, Archbishop Desmond Tutu wrote for it, all these people. Oprah wrote a story. We were talking with her backstage one day, and we asked her, why do you do what you do? And it was a strange question, but there are a lot of people out there with power and fame who don't really do what Oprah does. This was right after she got back from South Africa, where she did the Christmas Kindness Show, helping to build schools for girls there. It was a strange moment. We just asked her, why do you do what you do? And she leaned back and she said, you know, it actually is traced back from when she was 8. And she said she was born in this small community, it's a tight-knit community, big city, but small, tight-knit community, where everyone looked after each other. Just her mom took care of her. She came from a really poor background, as some of you might know. One Christmas, she knew that she wouldn't have any gifts. She knew that they just didn't have the money for it. She was 8 at the time. And she was so embarrassed, she said, because she knew that when she went to school, all her friends would ask her, what did you get as a gift? And she'd have to say nothing. And they would just tease her and tease her about it. And on that Christmas Eve, she remembered there was a knock on the door, and this local service organization came by, and they brought her a doll. A single, simple doll. And she said she was so happy. And she said, not that it was a lot, but somebody remembered her. Somebody thought that she was special in the world. And she said, that, I look back in my life, was one of my happiest moments ever. And she said years later when, you know, a show and $1 billion and success and all these things, you know, I look back and that was still the happiest moment. And I asked myself, how can I recreate that moment? And she realized the only way to do it was to literally, in her case, give back. She went to South Africa. She gave 50,000 gifts to children there, including 50,000 dolls to young girls. And the reason I share that story, it isn't the message that you have to have $1 billion, or you have to be Oprah, or you have to give 50,000 gifts to make a difference, but instead a simple message that no one ever would have expected. That woman who knocked on her door that day, that local service organization who handed her the doll, never could have imagined the repercussions that that simple act of kindness for her would stir Oprah to give 50,000 gifts to children in South Africa. Just like that librarian, when I knocked on the door that day and uncrumpled the newspaper article and put it down in front of her, never could have imagined by helping us with that research, we would reach out to 1 million children around the world. That's the power of your job. When you interact with people, when you reach people, when you touch people, when you inspire people, when you challenge people, the impact you have on their lives. That's the message I want to leave you with today. And I want to leave you with one final short video. And for this one, I'm going to ask you if you could dim the lights. It'd be wonderful, please.
Nearly 30 years, Nelson Mandela, 71 years old, was the last of a free man. Saving the dying from the streets, caring for abandoned babies, members of the destitute.
And he said, "You must be the change we want to see in this world."
And as we spent a day with her, and we were leaving, she grabbed our hands and looked us in the eyes, and had this powerful stare and said, "Remember, boys, we can do no great things, but we can do small things with great love."
The words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he said, "Everybody can be great, because anybody can serve."
I am the first.
I'm only a child, yet I know we are all in this together and should act as one single world towards one single goal.
The greatest fear is not fear in action. Our greatest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. And God, that we can love with a face from the front.
And by working together and sharing our spirits, we can do things however small, great love, truly
thank you very much.
Hi, my name's Caleb Westerby. I'm taking a leadership program through my school. One of the leaders we studied was Craig Kahlberg. It was a pleasure to hear Craig speak today. On behalf of the Ontario Library Association, I'd like to thank Craig for his inspiring words.
Thank you.